I have no intention whatever of taking any public part in preaching at the conference. I came here to be fed, and it has been a joy to sit and listen to the ministry of the Word of God. But some of the folks twisted my arm, and they asked me to have a little word, and I can assure you, I'm not going to abuse my privilege. I want to read just a couple of verses in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I have been a Christian now for 73 years. I was led to the Lord in the year 1918 on the 3rd of May. That's 73 years ago. And I've been 67 years in the work of the Lord. And what I've been thinking about tonight are some of the great men of God that I have met in my lifetime. I'm very thankful that I was brought up in an environment where the Word of God was ministered by outstanding godly men. And as I think of them, it rejoices my heart. What I want to do tonight is to mention three outstanding men that made a tremendous impact on my heart and life. And the first one was a pioneer missionary. And the second one was a shepherd among God's people. And the third one was a Bible teacher. And just for just a few minutes, I want to speak a little bit about these three men, the impact that they made on my life, and I think it would make on your life as well if you had known them and been in contact with them. Now, the first was a man called Fred Lane. He was one of the early pioneers in Central Africa. He went there in 1889 with Mr. Fred Stanley Arnott. And he went into the interior at the time when the European powers had not occupied Central Africa. And there was an old chief at that time in a place called Bunkeya that was a tyrant, a man that was in complete control of life and death over the people at that time. Mr. Arnott had spent a little while with them, but there were three men went in to relieve Mr. Arnott when he had to leave. One was an Englishman, and one was an Irishman, and the third was a Scotchman. Now, the Englishman was Fred Lane, and the Irishman was Mr. Hugh Thompson, and the Scotchman was the well-known Dan Crawford. Now, I came in contact with Mr. Fred Lane when I was 19 years of age. He was at home on furlough from Africa, and he spoke about a number of tribes in Central Africa that were completely unevangelized and for the gospel needed to be preached. I was 19 years of age at the time. It made a tremendous impact on my mind when he spoke about it. And feeling God's call, 67 years ago, I left home to go and join Mr. Lane in Central Africa and to try to reach those tribes. You know, it was a wonderful, wonderful privilege for a boy of 21 years of age to be in contact with those early pioneers. I thought then, and I still think, that the greatest vocation in life is a pioneer missionary. A man to go into territory where the gospel never has been preached and raise the gospel standard and see God working. So at 21 years of age, I went to Africa, and I spent some time with Mr. Fred Lane. Before he went to Africa, he had been a sergeant detective in Scotland Yard in London. The time that things were very bad in England at that time, and he got considerable experience in police work. But he was a great upstanding man, a giant of a man, both physically and mentally and in every way. And I, just a boy, going up to the length of a man like that, I tell you, I felt very small. But as I look back to that dear man and the things that he taught me and the things that I heard and saw at that time, it left a tremendous impact on my mind. And again, beloved, here this morning, this evening, let me say, I believe that the greatest vocation in life is to do pioneer work in a place where the gospel never has been preached. If I was back at 21, I would do the same thing over again. Oh, there's no regret about going into areas and lifting the standard of the gospel and preaching to people that have never heard it, learning the language of the people. And by the way, in our experience in Africa, we had to learn 4 different languages. And the last time I was there, just before the Portuguese pulled down the flag of the Portuguese people who had been in Angola for over 480 years, they pulled down their flag and the hammer and sickle was hoisted. And I was there when that happened. Some terrible things have happened in Angola since then. But I thank God that I had the privilege of being there over the years and seeing God working in a phenomenal way. I would like to tell some stories about Mr. Lane. I'm not going to do that. Time wouldn't suffice. But all I want to say is, it's a great thing to be able and willing to go into areas where the gospel never has been preached, either at home or abroad, and preach the gospel. So, Mr. Fred Lane, he made a tremendous impact on my life that has remained to the present day, the pioneer missionary. Now, the second man that I'm thinking of was a shepherd. His name may be familiar to a number who are here this evening. He lived in Toronto. His name was Albert Kitcher. And I, as a young missionary, came home on my first furlough in 1930. For the first time, I was in Toronto. And I met Mr. Kitcher. He was a wonderful, outstanding man of God. He was not a preacher, seldom on the platform. He was a beautiful singer, and he led the hymns in Central Hall in Toronto. And I got to know him at that time. Over the years, as I visited there on each one of our furloughs, I got to know him very well. And I learned that the kind of work that he was doing was visitation. He was a professional man. I stayed in his home, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, he was in his office. And sometimes I'd come home from a meeting in the evening, and he was still in his office. But he and another brother called Jim Buchan. Jim Buchan was a Scotchman from Peterhead in Scotland. And these two brethren, every Thursday of every week, they did no professional work. They give themselves to visitation. And on 2 occasions, they invited me to go with them. I'll never forget the contact I had with those dear brethren. They had a little blank book. And if they heard of any problem in any assembly in Toronto, they made a note of it. And on Thursday morning, they had a word of prayer together, and they started off, and they spent the whole day in visitation. Sometimes it was the hospital, and other times it was the home. Possibly something had happened in the home of one of the believers, and they went there. And unfortunately, sometimes it was the jail. But the whole day was spent in visitation, and they went down the list that they had compiled during the week of problems and difficulties had arisen, and they asked me on two occasions to go with them. You know, as I saw the way that those men were working, I couldn't help but feel that this was real shepherd work. Again, let me repeat, neither of them took a very public place in the preaching, on a platform or in a pulpit. But their work was shepherd work. And I couldn't help but feel that this is the kind of work that's very badly needed today. Some years ago, Albert Kitcher died. And one of the greatest honors I had in my life was to go to his funeral. I was asked to take his funeral. And as I stood over that casket and looked into the face of that dear brother lying in the casket, I bowed my head and I said, Lord, raise up 1,000 men like Albert Kitcher. Just quite recently, Mr. Jim Buchan died. And he too is with the Lord. It was at a period when I myself was in the hospital, and while I was there, he communicated with me every single week. Although we lived quite a long distance from each other, but I'll never forget the letters that he wrote me. And very frequently he called me on the phone while I was going through a very difficult hospital experience. But he now, too, is with the Lord. You know, these two men, they have left such an impact on my mind that I can't help but feel, beloved brethren, the need for men to do this kind of work. You know, anybody that has a glib tongue and a well-informed mind and is a bit of an actor can stand up and preach. That's not too hard if a person is fitted to do that kind of thing. But I tell you what is difficult and what is badly needed today are good men. We need the shepherd work among us today. And I would like to appeal to our beloved brethren that are here tonight, especially those that are elders in the assemblies. Don't forget the shepherd work of visitation. It's one of the most important, one of the most vital activities that a person could engage in at the present time. Now, the third man that has made a tremendous impression upon my mind is a man who spent 40 years in India as a missionary. He did a wonderful work there. He carried on in a place called Narsapur in the southern parts of India. Some years ago, I was over in India for 4 months and had the very great privilege, not only north and south and east and west in India, of seeing some of the work that's going on there. And I saw some of the work of that beloved brother carried on for 40 years in India. His name was Archie Naismith. And he left a wonderful, wonderful reputation behind him. He came back home, and I had the privilege on several occasions of being with him at conference meetings. On one occasion, we were invited to a prophecy conference on the west coast of Canada. And on the Lord's Day, we were invited to take the meetings in different assemblies in the area. And Mr. Naismith a man who had an international reputation as being a Bible teacher. He was asked to take the family Bible hour in one of the assemblies at that time in Victoria. When he got there, he found that there were two young men with guitars, and they were just like hippies, long hair down their back, dressed in jeans, sneakers, and they got up and they started to sing. And people could not understand the words that they were singing, with neither top nor tail in it at all. But they sang one number after another. And Mr. Naismith, this man who was a competent, internationally known Bible teacher, he sat. And at 12 minutes to 12 o'clock, they stopped their numbers. And Mr. Naismith got up, and he didn't show any irritation at all. He just got up and he read his text. On the 12 minutes that was given to him, he said a little word from it, and right on the dot of 12 o'clock, he closed in prayer. Now, I know he was hurt. I know I was. I couldn't help but feel that a man of the reputation that he had to give him 12 minutes to minister the word, and he was shut out by what had gone before. I can't understand the mentality of people, those responsible, that would allow a thing like that. He should have had at very least 45 minutes for his message, but he was given 12 minutes. But he showed no irritation. And at the end, he just closed with a word of prayer, and that was it. I knew he was hurt, but he didn't show any irritation on his face. Gracious, kindly, godly man. But I couldn't help but feel that it was something that never, never, never should have happened. My beloved brethren and sisters here tonight, I believe that those that are responsible for conducting ministry meetings should give a man of that type, should give him a proper time for to carry on the message that has been given to him. And I'm not going to break into tonight to his son. I'm awfully thankful that Dr. James Naismith is here tonight. He was the son of Mr. Archie Naismith. The Naismith family is very well known in Scotland. Most of you know that I was brought up in Northern Ireland. And one of the most familiar names that I know when I was a boy growing up among the assemblies of God's people was the name of Naismith. There was Archie Naismith, there was Fraser Naismith, and they had sons. And all of the sons in the family, they followed the footsteps of their father. And many a time at conferences where there were 3,000 people in the city of Belfast, I saw one of the Naismith young men, the sons of these two outstanding brethren, standing up and ministering the word. And the message that they gave has remained with me to the present day. Beloved brethren, we do need men that's able to teach the word. And I'm awfully thankful, as I sit down, that the son of Archie Naismith is with us tonight. And I leave it to your judgment if the message that he has been giving, it has been heartwarming. It has brought us near to the Lord. And beloved brethren, this is the kind of ministry that we badly need today. Not entertainment. But what we need is the exposition, the expository ministry of the Word of God and given in grace. I should say, just before I sit down, that I had the privilege in the city of Glasgow of going to a hospital in the last days of Mr. Archie Nesmith. He was lying in a bed there, and both legs had been amputated. And I sat down beside him and took his hand. I never forget those moments, looking into the face of that dear, dear man of God, an outstanding teacher of the Word, and seeing him in that condition. I thank God that he's with the Lord tonight, but his son is here to carry on his work. And may God bless our dear brother tonight as he ministers the Word among us, for his name's sake.